morning, everyone. It was a few years ago we did this series on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We thought it will be necessary to repeat it again. Some of the subjects it's good to be repeated, so we will know, we will never lose the grip of it. There is a 3 weeks study on this subject. Hopefully we can finish it together. Over the past few years, elders have prepared a series of lists, subjects, books that has been given out to various Sunday school teachers for adults, and we have covered quite a bit of them. Sam has a list of them. By now, you are all trying to get a degree of MTH. What is MTH, you may be thinking, right? Master of Theology. But you have to take a test. If you pass 99%, you will get a certificate from ELBC with an MTH degree on it. No, just kidding. But even if we give you, don't take it to the next door church and apply for a job. They won't take it. But we have covered quite a bit of subjects on the various subjects. If there are subjects that you think that is interesting to you that we should cover, please let Sam know. We can put it in our list. We will address it according to the teacher and the time that is available. Except for the even month, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 month, the last Sunday we don't have a Sunday school. The rest of the weeks that we do cover with adult Sunday school. Hopefully we can cover this within the next 3 weeks. I will try my best to do that. We have about 45 slides to cover in 3 weeks. So if I don't finish at least 15 today, we will be running late. So we'll see how far we can go with the 35 minutes that is ahead of us. Well, now it is 32 minutes. the person, the deity, and work of the Holy Spirit. There are three major divisions for this subject. One is the person of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the deity of the Holy Spirit, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And within the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit, the work through the ages, in different times in the past as well as now, the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ as a church, and also the work of the Holy Spirit as an individual, as a believer, you and me, on the individual basis. So those are the subjects that will be the work section, which we will probably cover towards the end. So we will just lay some foundation for our start today, and hopefully we can cover quite a bit of ground. These are some of the things are very well known to number of you. It may be a reminder for many of us, but it is hopefully it will be helpful as we go through this lesson. The references in the scriptures in the using the New King James Version, Old Testament has 24. Is that clear to you all? Can read it. Old Testament has 24 times in 9 verses the word direct reference of the Holy Spirit in 9 verses only. But 24 times it is mentioned. But when it comes to the New Testament, we have 97 verses, and which has over 200 times the Spirit of God is mentioned. Well, that indicates the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit and his work on earth during the New Testament period. The mention and as well as the coverage of the subject during the New Testament, it is absolutely crucial to know. It is an important thing for the Spirit of God and his work here on the earth during the period of the New Testament. Our study is based on the conviction that the Bible is God's word in its entirety. This eliminates all discussions of human arguments and human wisdom. So all other so-called arguments for or against the Spirit of God will not be taken into consideration. We are totally going to be depending upon the word of God and nothing more. Now, we will consider the following aspects of the person of the Holy Spirit. One is the deity of the Holy Spirit, the person or personality of the Holy Spirit, the similes and symbols. There is quite a bit of that in the entire scripture. Some are similes, some are symbols of the Holy Spirit. And that is where most people get confused on the similes and the symbols. Spirit's work through the ages. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit in the New Testament, And within the subject of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, work of the Holy Spirit with sinners, anointing and sealing by the Spirit, guarantee and the witness of the Spirit, prayer and worship in the Spirit, the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit, hindrances to the Spirit's working, Spirit and the Book of Acts, the Holy Spirit's power. And those are some of the major themes that can be covered in the New Testament as we consider. I don't believe we will cover all that because of our limited time that we have. Perhaps most of these will be covered in some form, directly or indirectly, as we go through this. The revealed deity of God, of the Holy Spirit. This is one subject that most of us will agree, and there are people in this world who do not agree with that part of it. But we are going to look what the scripture says to prove beyond any doubt Holy Spirit is God, and he has every character and things that are mentioned about God is mentioned about the Holy Spirit. So he is the triune, one of the triune God, the third person of the triune God. Well, we all know omnipotent. God is omnipotent. Is that Job 33:4 says, power of creation, the Spirit of God has made me, says Job. So he is the all-powerful God. Some of these things I'm going to go quickly, read through it and quickly go through. Some of you are things are known to you, so to save some time. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139 and verse 7 says, where can I go from your Spirit? The psalmist says, if I go and hide in the uttermost part of the world, your Spirit will find me, there you are. So we cannot go and hide from the Spirit. He is omnipresent, just as the Father and the Son. He is omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 10 and 11 says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So he is omniscient, all-knowing God. He is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. I'm not reading the entire passages, just picking up the statements that are related to our study. So he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he is omniscient, he is eternal. And he is the one who blesses. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, we read that when Paul writes about the benediction, when he closes the 2 Corinthians, at the very end, he says, now may the blessing, may the God and the Son of God, and then at the last of that blessing, he says, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. He is the one who blesses along with the Father and the Son. He is also the one who can do all things at his will, just like the Father and the Son. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So he has the power to do things at his will. God's name is mentioned. The very well-known passage that all of us know in Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses in verse 19 says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. In the triune God is given in that passage that is known to us. He is referred to as God. Acts 5 verse 3 and 4 says, why has Satan, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, thank you. Story. The Spirit, here we read that, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. So, reference to the Holy Spirit being God. So, we read that in Acts chapter 5. Now, we go a little more details on the personality of the Holy Spirit, because there is a lot of denominations without naming any name in particular are really confused about the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, I sometimes take this illustration to make that clear. Holy Spirit, if you agree that he is a person, I am here this morning. I came here. And if any of you say, a little bit of George Pijon came here this morning, that won't be right, right? Either I am here in all person, or I am not here at all. When I walked into this room, I came as a full person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a little bit of, oh, I'm sorry, full person of George Pijon, but not as a little bit of something. So the personality of the Holy Spirit is very clearly should be understood, because there is a lot of things, confusions about this. Holy Spirit is not just a power. Yes, He is powerful. He is not simply a power or certain visible actions that He does. But He is a person who has the power to act. And we can see the examples throughout the scriptures. He has the power and which He has done and He has acted upon as the time and the purpose of God was necessary to fulfill here on this earth. He did use the power to act. A person, if you look at a person, just generally speaking, he has desires, emotions, thoughts and power to make decisions. And there may be other things. These are some fundamentals that we can see. Any person, if you talk about a person, has desires, emotions, thoughts and power to make decisions. Well, is that true about the Spirit of God? Let's look at some of the examples. Holy Spirit has all these characters, but we won't take time to read all these passages. But if you take time, we look at all of these, some of them we will be referring as we go on further. Spirit has all these characters that has the desires, emotions, power, and thoughts, and power to act. We will look at 23, at least I came up with the help of some studies and books that I have looked at, 23 different characters of the Holy Spirit as a person. He has worked as a person that are revealed in the scriptures, at least 23 different characters. Spirit gathered the scriptures together, Isaiah 34:6. He has the power of gathering the spirit, the book, the book that you and I are holding in our hands. He gathered and put it together for us. It is the Holy Spirit that the work behind the scriptures. Holy Spirit strives in Genesis 6:3. These are again verses that are very perhaps known to you. These are just reminders. Holy Spirit strives. He bears witness in Romans 8:16, 1 John 5:8, and Acts 20:23 and 11, and 1 Peter 1:11. In all those passages, Holy Spirit bears witness. He teaches in Nehemiah 9:20, where it clearly says Holy Spirit is the one who teaches there. He reproves, John 16:8. So He strives, bears witness, He teaches, He reproves, He guides and leads. John 16:13, Matthew 4:1 and Luke 2:27, we read the Holy Spirit guides and also leads the people of God. Shows things to come. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, when the Spirit of God is come, He will show you things to come. I believe that there are many among us who believe that as a direct reference to the book of Revelation that has to be yet to come, and the future will be revealed. The Lord said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will reveal to you the things to come. In John 16:13-15. He gives, Acts 2:4. He comforts. One of the characters that most of us very often talk or perhaps know, and we encourage others and bring that knowledge to Christians who are suffering or in pain or sickness, we let them know the Spirit of God is a comforter. But we all sometimes forget the other 22 characteristics that he's working with us on a daily basis. He definitely is the comforter whom God has given to us. Dividing to every man. This is talking about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:11. So the Spirit of God is the one that divides things to every man. He separates people in Acts 13:2-4, Paul and Silas, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Paul and Silas, to this particular ministry. He's the Spirit of God made that very clear. So he does separate people and calls and sends out people into the mission field, and he confirms that call, and it is all the Spirit of God who is working in and through us. He takes away, chapter 8 of 39. He teaches again, John chapter 14 and 26, as the Lord Jesus was speaking there. He compels or drives us to do the things for the Lord in Mark 1 and 12. It says, it seems good to the Holy Spirit in Acts 15, verse 28. Now, again, these are all characteristics of a person. So that is, we are quickly going through it, but these are all characteristics of a person. He is being sent by the Holy Spirit, being sent in Galatians 4, 6, by God the Father, or the Lord Jesus Christ, as he went back to heaven. He speaks, he commands in Matthew 10, 20 and Acts 10, 19 and 20. He speaks, expressly speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He forbids and prevents, and Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia, and the Spirit of God said, no, you are not going. He prevented Paul from going to a certain place. Now, coincidentally, yesterday, some of us were there in the meeting there in Irving, a brother from who lived in California for a few years, and then him and his family packed everything, went to North India to serve the Lord. Not just any North India, they went to the very heart of Hinduism, where they call the so-called holy Ganges. Millions of people come there on a daily basis, pouring in to take a dip in the holy river, and right in the middle of there, and this family is serving the Lord last five or seven years, somewhere there.
Five years
now. They are in the very heart of the enemy, the Satan. Now, the reason I mentioned him is that when they were called by the Lord to go to the mission field, they had all kinds of ideas and thoughts, and they very clearly said, the Spirit of God really, really stopped from going from certain places. And it made it very clear to them, don't go there. And finally, the Lord made it very clear to them that this particular spot, nobody will go. This city that is,
Uttarakhand.
That particular city that there are many South Indians and many missionaries and many have gone to the north. Everybody avoided this city because that is where the stronghold, the very heart of Hinduism, and nobody would even survive there. And that is where this family with the three children, teenagers, all of them, and they are serving the Lord. The Holy Spirit forbids, he prevents, and at the same time he calls and encourages. He intercedes. We know this verse very well in Romans 8, 26. The Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf when we pray. He searches in Romans 8, 27 and 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. He grieves. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We read in the scriptures. The Spirit of God can grieve. Our brother mentioned that he is in our hearts to stay. When we go to wrong places, the Spirit of God is going with us. And we do grieve him. And we know it. If you are a true believer, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you know it very well. You are grieving the Holy Spirit because he is right there talking to you. And he said, our brother said, that he knocks. He knocks and says, don't do it. So the Spirit of God does grieve, as the scripture says. Now we are going to look at some similes and symbols of the Holy Spirit. That is where most people get confused with the person of the Holy Spirit. If you don't interpret these things very clearly, then we can be in the same shoes, in their shoes. Well, we read, one of the things we read about the Spirit of God is the Dao. He's a symbol, the witness of the Spirit. In Matthew 10:16, we read that Dao is a harmless bird. There's all kinds of bird in this world. We know Dao is probably the most harmless birds compared to any other bird. You know, I have seen when I was growing up, I am sure you have seen too. The doves come, they will come very close to you. Sometimes you can even touch them. They are very innocent and harmless. We never seen or heard of any story that a dove did anything wrong or hurt someone. He's a very harmless person. It's a very good symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is harmless. We read that the Spirit of God descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism as what? Just with his soul like a dove coming down upon his shoulders. So that's one symbol that we read. Then we read about the dew. Throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, is the dew that we read about. It is a reference, in some case, most cases, it is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The refreshing of the dew. Refreshment of the dew. Proverbs 19:12 says, but this favor is like dew on the grass. And I'm sure most of us know this. Before the flood, there was no rain. This is the first time they ever saw rain at the time of flood. The dew from the earth came up and was covered the ground, watering the earth. When I was growing up as a young boy in my hometown, you'll go out in the morning, you can see on the grass, the dew kind of built up at the tip of the grass. You can almost pick up one drop of that dew. It is pure water in its purity that you can ever get. How many of you have seen that? Dew in the morning. But you have to wake up in the morning though. You can't sleep until 10 o'clock. Dew will be gone. So it talks about the purity, but it talks about the refreshing of the dew. Psalm 133 verse 3 says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. A reference to the Spirit of God. So don't go out and say dew is Holy Spirit, but it is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Dew is not Holy Spirit, but the dew, the effect and the characteristics of the dew can be related to the Spirit of God. The oil is another symbol. People take it very extremely to the other extent and misinterpret this part. During the Old Testament time, olive oil was commonly used for three things. One is for light, and the Exodus 27:20, they used it for medicine, Isaiah 1:6 and Luke 10:34, and they also used it for food in the Exodus 29:2 and Leviticus chapter 2. So the oil is used in the Old Testament in various ways. Now, it was customary for the prophets, priests and kings to be publicly anointed and consecrated to their office. When a king is anointed, they bring the oil and pour upon him. When a priest or a prophet is anointed, they bring the oil and pour upon them. It is a direct relation or a representation of the Spirit of God being upon them. So these are some of the symbols. There are more symbols and that we can look at. The Lord Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit at the time of his baptism in verse 18 of Luke 4. The oil of joy. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says the oil, talk about the oil of joy. The oil of gladness in Psalm 45 verse 7 and Hebrews 1:9. I'm going a little fast, going quickly through this because these are things that are known to us, most of the things. Just refreshing our thoughts and minds. The cloud. So the dove, the dew, the oil, the cloud. The cloud represents the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Remember the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22, typifies the Spirit, Holy Spirit in various ways. The Israelites were traveling through the wilderness. What guided them through the day is the cloud. What guided them through the night is the fire. So the Spirit of God was in action with in those symbols. It lead their way. They know which way to go. It illuminated them to give them light in their journey. It never left them. It never left them. We read that in verse 22 of Exodus when we read through it. Now, all these three above, representation of the symbol that is given by the cloud, the leading to giving light and never leaving them, is true in the New Testament as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit. So these are some of the symbols. Well, there are much more. These are some are very obvious and generally talked about. There are many others. The well, water is a familiar figure in the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, water is a very important in the scriptures. When the water is still, if you just talk about the still waters, it is most of the time it is meant about the word of God. When the water is still, it means the word of God. When the water is running, it is the meaning is the Holy Spirit. So the word, the water in the Old Testament especially, has two aspects of the word, which is the word of God when it is still, and the running water, which is the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament passages, this running water is described as living water, which is true about the Holy Spirit. In John 3:5, we have the Word. The verse he says, John 4:14, we have the Holy Spirit. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. In Revelation 22:17. Every believer has been made to drink into one spirit. Again, the drinking part, which is water, and represents the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts, the pouring into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. The rivers. River flowed in Adam's paradise. There were Adam was put in the paradise. There were rivers and branches that was flowing in the paradise. This was a literal river at that time, but it represents the flowing of the life, which represents the Spirit of God. There will be another river in the coming paradise. In the old paradise, there was a river. In the coming paradise, there will be another river. Here in Revelation 22:1, we believe it is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. In the new heaven and earth, there will be another river that flows, which symbolizes the Spirit of God. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, listen carefully on this verse. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whose believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet come or given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There are two statements I want you to look at. There are many things in there, but just two statements. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And many among the assemblies and God's people believe that this is the word of God. It is the word of God that should come out and flow out of our hearts and life. That is what the Lord Jesus said. But in the second verse, for this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which is the flowing part, out of his heart rivers of living water. But this he hoped concerning the Spirit whom believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit is not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The still water that we drink is the word of God. The flowing of the river, as the Lord speaks about, is through the work of the Holy Spirit that goes out through in and through us. Christ is the reservoir of whom we drink. The Spirit of God is the reverse by which we flow. Now the wind, another symbol that is in the scriptures is the wind. John 3:8 we read, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, a lot of people get confused with this. You know, the wind blows and the sound makes sound and all that. It is showing the work of the Holy Spirit as a symbol, but not the Holy Spirit. The wind is not Holy Spirit. That's where they make mistake. Water or river is not Holy Spirit, but it's the symbol of the Holy Spirit and the work and the effect that it has. Acts 2:1-14. This is probably the most confusing to many Christians in the world. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them dividing tongues or fires as of fire, and one that sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So there are symbols are given in these passages too. There is wind, there is fire, and there is invisibility of the wind. One of the characters of a wind is invisible. The Spirit of God is not visible today. He is there in your heart, but he is not visible. Perhaps we can, next couple of minutes, we will close with the symbols and then we will continue next week. In Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1, we read, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, come see these bones. Oh, can these bones live? And verse 13-14 give more details of the work of the wind. And the wind comes, blows, and these bodies rise up from dead. That is the picture in that passage. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. One of these days, many Christians who are dead and buried, the wind is going to blow. In the sense, the Spirit of God is going to come and revive them back to life and take them home. So we look at these above passages. There are three things about the wind. One is, it is heavenly wind. It is invisible. And it is very powerful. This is the passage that we just read in Ezekiel. So what does that represent? Something that is heavenly and invisible and powerful. It is no one other than the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit today is invisibly active and sovereignly powerful in the church as well as in the lives of individual believers. Well, I think we are right on time here. So far we looked at the following titles: Deity of the Holy Spirit. I know it was very quick lesson, very fast, but I know this is mostly known to many of you, a reminder. Personality of the Holy Spirit. Similes of the Holy Spirit. And we also looked at the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord willing, next week we will look at the work of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we'll spend a little extra time to look at the work of the Holy Spirit, both through the ages, in the church, and in individual believers, which is more important for us to know. So, if any of you are interested for these notes, I am very more than happy to give it to you at some point. So let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning once again for a time that we can spend around the person of our Savior, to remember and worship Him, and also to be reminded of the manifold blessings that you have given to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, abundant blessing of which some of them which have been reminded of through the scriptures to us. We pray that may continue to bless us, make us be aware of the blessings that is given to us, that may live that a life that is pleasing unto you. Even this study together about the Spirit of God, how awesome it is to know the triune God, the third person of the Spirit of our triune God, indwelling in my heart. It is really, truly unbelievable. We thank you and praise you for him who helps us in guiding and leading us day by day, comforting and strengthening and doing the work that you have given him to do in each one of our personal life. We pray that thou may help us to be tuned very carefully in our life, daily walk with him to the Spirit of God as he talks to us in the most gentle way, quietly in our hearts. We pray that this, as we continue to study, it may encourage me and each one of us to be very aware of the Spirit of God and his work in our hearts and in our lives. We give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.